Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinner.
It's another week, another amazing guest, and another opportunity for me to bring you value through someone else's story. This week's episode is brought to you by Liquid Web, a premium, high-performing hosting company. They work with companies like Home Depot, National Geographic, FedEx, and much more. You can go to liquidweb.com and use the promo code PASSION33. That's PASSION33 to save 33% off your first 3 months. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode.
Oh my goodness. Episode 100 live event was amazing. So much value. Each guest broke down just various ways on how they turned their passion into dollars. And I mean, I'm just so thankful, so grateful for each guest, so grateful for each person that came on and joined. Like, it was just an amazing experience. Yes, I was beat after just streaming live for 9 hours. It was crazy, but it was well worth it. You guys are in for a treat. Truly a treat. So get ready for an amazing experience on how each guest turned their passion into dollars.
All right, so Melinda, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, I'm Melinda Livesey, for those of you who don't know me, and I've been a graphic designer for, gosh, over 11 years now. And so I was a graphic designer turned brand strategist. So I do mainly branding, brand strategy, identity design, and messaging. And now I teach, too. So I teach people how to do brand strategy, and I also teach graphic design graduates how to freelance.
Nice. So let's jump into, as you know, the basis of all of this. We want to turn everybody's passion into, we want everybody to make some money here, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So kind of give us the different ways how Melinda's generating revenue. And if you want, you could give percentage of what brings in.
Yeah, I actually don't even know the percentage because it's changing right now, but it might be 50-50 at this point. But mainly, I've been working on client work, so branding for the past, pretty focused on that for the past, like, I don't know, four years. Mm-hmm. So that's been my main source of income over that time. Sorry if you hear something in the background, that's my dog.
Nice.
So yeah, that I would say that right now though is about, well, time spent is probably 50% on client work. And then the other portion of my time is now going into teaching. And so that's producing e-courses and online resources and materials. I also bring in revenue through affiliates too. So I am an affiliate for the products that I personally love and I use myself. I am an affiliate for those, so through my blog and other places. I have that as well.
Nice. And just to let you guys know, we're going to give you the opportunity, and we're going to let you know when what we're going to do to get that you could win it. But Melinda is going to be giving away some coaching.
Yeah, 1 hour free coaching with me.
Nice. So we'll let you know about that, which is a big deal because that's a combination of her skill and her time. So I really appreciate that. Did not expect that at all.
Yeah, no, I love to help out, especially your audience too.
That's awesome. So it's cool that you brought up affiliate. No one is yet to bring that up yet. So let's talk a little bit about affiliate, what that is. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the basics of affiliate marketing is that if you use a product, or let's say you take an e-course, a lot of times they have an affiliate program. So Amazon has this. So if you ever recommend books, it's really good to be an Amazon affiliate, because every time someone clicks on a link that then brings them to that product to purchase, then you get a percentage of the sale. And I believe with Amazon, it's not just the product that you recommend, but if they stay on Amazon through that link and then they end up purchasing, let's say, a new laptop or a camera, you could get a commission from that sale too. So it's just that they used your link to get to that place. And so a lot of people will use that for products that they are recommending that they use. And I know other people that do also use the affiliate links for things that they haven't used, but I don't believe in that. I think it's that if you recommend it and you use it and you like it, then it makes sense that you would be making commission off of that.
That's how it works. Which makes sense. I feel like it gives it more a personal feel, especially if you have to talk about it or like put some words to that thing. Yeah. It's like kind of hard to talk about that thing that you have never used in your entire life. Trust me, I've tried it. It doesn't resonate. It doesn't come off that real.
Yeah. Yeah, not at all. And so, and it's things that I use on a daily basis usually, or I am an affiliate too for like the strategy kit that I learned from. Mm-hmm. I will rep that everywhere because that has been such a pivotal turning point in my career and using that. And so I talk about that everywhere I can. And so of course, you know, that would make sense for me to be an affiliate for that as well.
So some of the places that Pete, like for those who are watching, like a lot of the websites, if you scroll through the extreme bottom, you'll see like affiliate, become an affiliate or stuff like that. If you're interested in doing something like that. So say there's a product or something you like using, go to the extreme bottom of the site. For the most part, you will see it somewhere down there saying something about affiliate, if I'm not mistaken.
I just Google it. Like I'll Google the name of the business and then say affiliate program. Mm-hmm. So if you use any type of invoicing system, anything that you really like. So if there's a product or service or a software service that you use that you really, really like, I would then go on at Google and just type in the name and then say affiliate program. And then usually there's an answer somewhere in their customer service database that says if they do offer that or not.
That's cool. And the real good ones to pick are the ones that have multiple different things there. Like you said, Amazon is a good one to use because you could basically almost everything on Amazon we all use. You know what I mean? Yeah. We all use. I mean, this week, because I've been trying to get the podcast more portable because I got to go to a few different places to go podcast there. I had to buy some portable gear, and like Amazon has been at my doorstep very often the last few weeks. So that's a good one. Like I know Best Buy has an Best Buy has an affiliate. I think Walmart has an affiliate. I'm not sure, but those are good ones to use because we all use a lot of various things at those places.
Exactly. And Amazon, there was something else. Like you can talk to too, if you have friends that have courses, or if you've taken an e-course and you just absolutely love it, I would reach out and see if they offer any type of affiliate program. Some places want you to have a list or to have a following already. Right, so you might have to ask about that. Some places and some people don't care. But and there's some, even in my own e-courses that I have, if there's students in there that they've went through it, they got results from it, they want to share about it, usually I will approach them and say, hey, would you like to be an affiliate for the e-course? Because you obviously had great results from it and you want to tell other people about it. So I will approach my own students about that in my stuff.
That's cool. So for those who don't know, affiliate is basically through click or through purchase, you will get some kind of revenue for either promoting it or through someone purchasing it, you'll get some kind of revenue.
Yeah, it's like, think of it as commission or referral bonus. So in person, let's say I gave a client to you, usually, not always, but in some industries, it's common for that person to then give a referral bonus because I referred that person and I attracted them because of my own marketing, but then I didn't need them. So that's common in places, you know, like a 10% referral fee. And so it's the same idea. It's just automated and it's digital. just right. makes everything so much easier to do.
Right, because, you know, we're trying to help everyone stop just trading time for money. The more we can do that, the better the world will be. Is that fair to say that?
Yes. It's sharing the love and the profit and all of that.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So you have affiliates, you have client work. What were some of the other ways you said you generated revenue? E-courses. So talk a little bit about that. What is an e-course?
So I have, I first started with Prelance, and that is an e-course teaching graphic design graduates how to freelance. I had so many people ask me a few years ago, how do I send an invoice? How do I, what contract should I use? How should I do a proposal? What question should I ask in when I first meet a client? And so I figured, well, why don't I put all those things together, and I put it up on Teachable. So I, in that specific e-course, I just went through slides and I was talking. So it was voiceover and just talking through slides and giving action steps and giving a ton of resources. Like, this is how I started freelancing. These are the contracts I used. If you hear growling, it's because my dog is mad at me that I'm on this, just letting you know. He's like sitting behind me growling at me. Anyway, so
I just. I love it.
You hear that? It's not my stomach growling because I'm hungry. It's my dog growling at me. I just threw those videos up on Teachable. There's so many different ways to do an e-course too. It doesn't mean you have to do video. There's people I know that have done PDFs and audio. You don't even have to do audio. Some people just do PDFs. There's so many different ways of doing an e-course to not limit. If you're thinking about it, don't limit yourself because you don't want to do video.
Right.
That you don't have to. But I chose to because it was the quickest way to get it out, that I could just go through a keynote, I could record over, and then quickly put it on Teachable. So I have that. And then I also, along with it, I do sell a toolkit that has contracts, proposals, all the templates that one would need to start freelancing, the questionnaires, the design briefs, example of invoices with my terms that I put on there. So I also sell that. And then I'm going to be coming out with my own brand strategy kit. So for designers who don't really like where they're at in their design career, and they know that there's more value they can be giving their clients or whoever they're working with in their brand, especially brand identity designers, that I will be sharing my process through some kind of, I don't know what that's going to be, if that's going to be an e-course, if that's going to be some kind of kit that they get, if it's going to be coaching, but that is specifically geared towards getting someone up and running with brand strategy. I'm not sure what that's going to look like just yet, because I need to talk to my audience. I need to see what would work best for them and validate that idea. But that's in the pipeline, what I'm going to be doing.
So this is something that basically someone can buy at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not like once you create it, you're not going to need you anymore.
Right. Well, what I'm going to do is with the one I'm working on,
mm-hmm.
I want to do it where I am walking with them through it, and they have question and answers with me. They'll have access to me. But then after that, everything will be recorded, mm-hmm. and then it will go evergreen. And evergreen is when someone could just go in and sign up for it and then go through it on their own. So what do they call it? Not self-taught, but I forgot what the term is, but
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember.
They sign up for it. They go through the videos on their own. Whereas if they were to do it the first run with me,
okay.
like the beta run, they would be with me and I would be releasing something every week and having live calls with me. So that's what I'm thinking I'll be doing for the new one.
Nice. I like that. And I feel like especially what you did with Prelance, I feel like if someone is like, because I took the Prelance course, if someone is like worried about putting their face out there or something like that, I feel like the way how you did it was kind of ideal for that type of person. It was basically you had the slides and you were just talking in the background. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, that's a awesome way to start, because then they'll have the content right in front of them and then they'll have you in their ear. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And I would say too, the other way to do it is record a group call. So if you have group calls on Zoom, if you've ever used Zoom, that you can have a keynote and present like you would to the group, but just record it. And then I know of people who then turn around and sell those videos And it's so much easier to talk when there's someone on the other end listening in questions than you're just on video and you're awkwardly looking at the lens, but then you have to read your slides. It's so awkward when you're doing it by yourself. So that's where I thought, well, you won't see my face. But if I were to show my face, I would most likely do it in a group call where I had a keynote and I was walking the group through and I was getting their feedback and their questions. And then later on, maybe editing the video before I put it up.
So my question to you with that is, are you still keeping the person in the whole recording, what you're producing and putting out there?
Like, are you asking the students, the people like who are...
So we're talking about a group call. You're the instructor. You're giving the instructions and the guidance and all that stuff. Are you still keeping the people that's watching? Are they talking during that? Are you hearing them during that with the person who's going to get that on the recorded version? Are they getting all of that too?
Right. So I do have one course out that is, So it is a group recording, and everyone that signs up for the course did sign a disclaimer, like they're okay with, you know, using all of that material in future courses or marketing material. So there is one course out. It's a smaller course that's about branding yourself and building your own design business. Uh-huh. Past the freelance stage. So it's for someone who's past just getting the freelance gigs, but they're really wanting to build their own design business and build a brand for themselves. And that one in particular is a group call. And it, man, my dog is just nonstop. It is a group call where the people are in the call and it's more of a casual setting. So we do go through a keynote, but then it is a discussion base. So, but everyone, again, they knew that was what was going on and they knew they were going to be involved in a future course. So many different ways to do it.
I think that's cool because then you kind of hear the interaction, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You kind of get to be in the room because, you know, there are a bunch of different quote unquote rooms that we all would like to be in, just be a fly on the wall, listening in and just kind of be like, okay, so, you know, that's what's going on. That's how they did that. So I think that whole concept is kind of cool.
Yeah, and one thing I didn't mention, another way I pulled in revenue is through a paid Facebook group that I run. It's kind of like a mastermind group where I am walking the group through and leading the group through what I'm currently doing in my business. So it's very hands-on. It's very like, hey, guys, this is what I did this week moving towards our three-month goal that we all decided we're heading towards. Mm-hmm. And those were the group calls that I actually ended up selling. And so you can do it so many different ways. So I am pulling in revenue from the actual paid Facebook group because it's almost like group coaching. You know, you have access to me in the group, but then also every week on the call. And then, so you have that interaction with me in the Facebook group. And then I am turning around and selling the evergreen, just the videos on, currently it's on Prelance.
Nice.
So there's so many different ways to go about that.
I like that model that you got going on with the group. So how do you pick? How do you choose people? Is like the filter? Is there a filtering system, or you just
there
gotta
will
pay
be
for it?
Now? Yeah, okay. It's only sold. So I only open enrollment every 3 months. Started in September, so I've had it September, and then I opened it again, I believe, in January, and I'm gonna open it really in the next probably week or maybe this week. I might open enrollment. And this time, so before it was just sold to my email lists that mm-hmm. followed me, because I figured if they're already having that type of relationship with me and they're already following, then I put them on a wait list or they sign up for a wait list. And then I'll only pitch it to the people that were interested in it. So I have that, but now there will be an application process because I'm finding that you really have to preserve the dynamic of the group and make sure that everyone's on the same page, that we all are serious about our three-month goal and that we're committed to show up and participate and share ideas and what we're doing, because everyone benefits when people share, when everyone shares. So I am going to probably have an application that people go through and filter from there.
That's cool. I'm digging that. That's awesome. That's awesome. So there's another thing that you did, which what I want people to kind of focus on too, is that you went through freelancing and you created a package of the different forms, the different types of proposals, all these different templates of these different things that you had to use during that process and then create that into a product to sell to other people mm-hmm. that needs it. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so you're talking about the toolkit then.
Right.
So I just looked through all of my templates that I use on a consistent basis, and then I organized them to make it coherent for people because I realized that you can't just pick up my files and then plug and play, right? So I made it actual templates. I put it in InDesign. I made separate layers so that you can go in and change your logo or change whatever information you needed. And so I did have, there was some work with actually making it usable for other people because I don't know what kind of systems they use. And then I did a video walkthrough too of like, this is how I use the templates. This is how you can use the templates, especially there were financial ones too, financial spreadsheets that if someone looked at it, they'd be like, I don't know what to do with this. So I walked them through like, this is how you, what you use.
Oh, nice.
Because I realized, and I just added that video walkthrough recently because I realized that people would have no idea how to do it. And I got a lot of emailed questions. So if you get a lot of questions, you realize that somewhere along the lines, the customer experience went down. So, yeah.
Oh, so that's cool. So you create like a walkthrough videos.
Yeah.
That's cool. Also, Mindly Design says it's totally underpriced, guys.
He's in my Facebook group.
Nice. So that's cool. I'm liking it. So everyone who's watching, these are different things that you can do to kind of bring in revenue. We all have expertise. There's things that you're doing consistently every day, a part of your routine that you can then rework as Melinda did and turn it into something for someone else that is a little bit behind your stage that you're at.
Definitely. Yeah, because and this is one thing I want to add is that I think we all worry that, oh, what do I have to teach? What do I have to show? And you do. There's always someone that you're one or two steps ahead of, always. And so why don't you just help them and share what, like you said, share what you use on a daily basis and what has worked really well for you. Share that with someone because there's always someone you're ahead of. And there will always be someone ahead of you that you're going to learn from.
Right.
But you can teach too.
All right. So quick, we're going to keep going. For those who want to take advantage of Melinda's coaching that she's giving away, I want you to take a screenshot of this and share it on your feed or your story. And I will pick a winner and let Melinda know. Sounds good? That sounds good?
Yeah, make sure to tag us too.
Yes, so definitely. Because if you don't tag, we won't be able to know.
We won't know. Then you won't get it. So there you go.
All right, so I got a question. How do you manage your time? Have you experienced burnout?
I don't know if I've experienced burnout. I have gotten extremely stressed and anxious, which probably is burnout, but I didn't realize it was. But I live by Google calendars. I block off my entire day with meetings or work. Like if I'm going to be working on a project, I block that time off so that I can shut off all distractions and really focus. So I'm stuck to my calendar, and I would highly recommend using a calendar. If you don't, I don't know how you get work done if you don't.
But like, especially with that Google calendar thing, like especially the days when I like super crammed and I got to squeeze a bunch of things together. Like I remember one time I had a few deadlines and some housework that I had to get done. Like I literally put every step in that Google calendar, every step. When is the lunch break? Everything. And it wasn't like perfect. I didn't fall, but it kept me on course. So I'm there with you on that.
Yeah, the other thing I want to add too is I am a major introvert and I get burned out from hanging out with too many people or too many client meetings. So I color code my meetings in yellow. So if I look at my week and it has way too much yellow in it, then I know that I need to do something. I need to either change something, I need to postpone a meeting because I will just shut down if I'm in way too many meetings and talking too much. So yeah, that's one big strategy that I use too.
That's awesome. Do you have do you have your own advertising agency?
I have a brand consultancy.
That's I hope.
Yeah.
A bit different.
Yeah.
So, well, all right. So we have. I'm sorry. Do you have to be somewhat established in design world to begin earning revenue? You go first, Melinda.
No, you can definitely get, if you're wanting to get clients, you don't need to be established in the design world because clients aren't going to care. Designers care if you're established. Yeah. But clients don't really care. They might see it and think, oh, you know, if someone else thinks you're good, then you must be. So that establishes credibility. But no, you, to begin making revenue, you don't need that.
You don't. You would like to have something that they can see, something that they could convince them to hire you. But like, do you need like a whole bunch of testimonials or all these different things? No, because I think we're all got our first client without a whole bunch of that stuff.
Yeah, I think about it. Nobody knew me when I started freelancing. I didn't have a good website even. It was based off of the relationships that I made. It wasn't being known at all.
All right, cool. But like, especially now, I feel like you can kind of hack the system in terms of like putting your work out more or creating ways. I know there was one person that they were like, you could create self-initiative projects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another way, this person was like, in your community, like, look for who needs your help.
Yeah, so for getting clients, is that what
we're...
Yeah, there's so many different ways. I mean, just talking to the people that know you best and to your friends and to your family.
Yeah, that's true.
Because a lot of times our family doesn't even understand what we do. And so if we go out and we ask them, hey, do you know anyone that is starting a local restaurant, and be very specific. And I find that it helps to be specific, because then I've heard that people go through their mental Rolodex of people they know that fit that description. But if you just say, hey, do you know anyone that needs a logo? It's like, I don't know. But if you say, hey, do you know a dentist with a really bad website? Oh yeah, my dentist has a horrible website, actually. I'll give you their name. So if you're very specific on what you're looking for, it helps the people who know you best that might not really understand what you do to ask them something very specific on what type of client are you looking for, or a person that's just starting a business, or what type of person, what industry are they in? That's what I probably would start with, your current network, and see what you can get out of that. 'Cause you probably can get at least one client, I would think, out of the people.
It's funny you said that. Like, I totally forgot about that. That's literally what I did. Like, mm-hmm. I went to everyone that I knew and was like, listen, this is what I'm doing. This was like in 2007, 2006. This is what I'm doing. And do you know anyone? And some were, mm-hmm. okay, I need it. And others were, mm-hmm. most of them were like, okay, I know this person that needs it. Or sometimes it's for down the line when it comes up, they'll be like, oh, I know Daryl that does that. I know Melinda does that. So mm-hmm. tapping into your current network, I think, is sometimes underappreciated.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We just disregard it because we haven't got clients from them. But a lot of times people don't even think about you. Like, they don't. You're not top of mind to most people that even know you all the time, especially what you do. Because I think what we do, especially if someone is not in our industry or understand necessarily what we do.
So true.
I don't know. So how are they going to know to refer us to anyone? We have to be more upfront with that.
All right, so we got a few more questions. So we answered that. All right, so what's the difference between an advertising agency and what you do, Melinda?
Advertising does advertising. So they're trying to get, advertising is really selling and getting awareness to a product. That's my understanding of advertising. Branding is completely different. So branding is the essence of a brand. It is the identity and how it presents itself. And it combines everything from naming to story to the why to the experience from start to finish of the business with the ideal client. is in a brand. So it's different than just that portion. Advertising is the little piece of the pie. The brand covers the entire business. I don't know if I explained that very well, but that's how I understand it.
Well, I feel like, you know, advertising, like I said, it's a little bit more focused on selling. And I think why sometimes it's kind of confusing, because there are 8 advertising agencies that does the whole 9. Like, they actually do start you out from the branding and work you all the way down to the selling portion. But it's actually a little bit different. But there are advertising agencies that do everything all the way out to you selling, helping you sell your actual product out the door. I'm not sure. I don't think you're doing that, to actually sell the product, right?
No, we talk about ways, like we do an overarching client journey with my clients. And so I sit down with them and I talk about the journey. How is someone going to become aware of you? How and why would they choose you over a competitor? And we go through the entire journey. So we touch upon it lightly, but that's not something that I would go deep in. And that's not something that I would offer either. So I don't offer any sort of advertising, Facebook ads, or any printed material, billboards, like none of that. So that's
I think advertising, at the end of the day, advertising agency, they go all the way down to the actual execution of selling the product, like probably even trying to sell it for you. So
yeah,
that's a whole nother conversation. That's a whole nother conversation.
Not one.
Well, all right, so remember, guys, screenshot and share it on your story or feed that we can give away this free coaching from Melinda, which I from the minute she replied on this email, I was blown away that she was willing to do that. So that's super different from everybody else, and I'm super appreciative of that.
My pleasure. Well, thank you for having me.
Awesome. Melinda, we'll definitely keep in touch, but thanks so much for doing this. You're awesome.
You too. Bye. Bye, guys.
All right, bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope it's been super valuable to you and you're now ready to take your audience building, your community growing to the next level to help you and help me build our empire, for lack of a better word, or just to build our thing. Remember to stop by iTunes, Passion Behind the Art, and leave a review and subscribe. It's very important to me. It helps the podcast grow, and it makes me feel good to kind of hear from you guys, to know what you like about this podcast, what it's done for you. So jump on iTunes and subscribe and leave a review. Passion Behind the Art. Be blessed.